Welcome once again to Health Connections, a program about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today, our topic is the stuff between your ears, the health of your brain. When we say brain health, we're not just speaking in generalities. It refers more specifically to the ability to remember, to learn new things, to play, to concentrate, to maintain a clear and active mind. It also includes improving your memory, problem solving, and attention. Brain health is contingent upon, get ready for this, neuroplasticity. That's a big word, but it means something very simple and profound. The brain's ability to change and adapt throughout your life. Joining us as usual is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, and my gray matter is ready for this conversation about the health of your brain. Dr. Myers, welcome.
I'm excited about this episode, Brandon. I think it's something a lot of people can relate to.
We have this old phrase in our vernacular, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And for many years, people probably believed that was true. And it does. As you get a little bit older, it is a little bit harder to remember things, or it's easier to lose your keys. But it is possible for people to improve brain health and reduce some of those age-associated changes that come along with your brain.
Yes, Brandon, there's a growing body of evidence about things that boost brain health and may be associated with reducing age-related changes in brain function.
And are there commonalities about what some of those factors are, about how we might be able to group keeping our brains in good shape and helping them grow over time?
Yeah, I like that question a lot, Brandon, because as I started looking at the literature about brain health, there were certain points where I felt overwhelmed. So many people were saying so many things. Mm-hmm. But as I studied it more and looked for patterns, what came to me as a nurse is many of the things that are recommended to boost your brain health are just common sense approaches to good health. They're things that we already know about with some slight nuances. Mm. The Cleveland Clinic has put together what I think is just a wonderful organization called the Six Pillars of Brain Health. Those pillars are physical exercise. We already know that's important for good health. What you eat, when you eat it, how you eat it. Your overall physical health, sleep, and relaxation. And then there are a few other things that are maybe more identified with brain health than what we think about when we think about our overall body's health, and that's mental fitness and social interaction.
Okay, let's start at the top of that list. Physical exercise. Now, this is something I think about, you know, toning my thighs or something, but how does this affect brain health?
Well, actually, it has very specific effects on your brains. Exercise benefits your brain health and cognition. It improves memory and may protect against degradation. Mostly what it has to do with the delivery of oxygen to the brain. Mm. So anything that's good for your heart is most likely good for your brain. So just as we think about exercising our heart muscle and we think about our skeletal muscles like your thigh muscles, where we say use it or lose it, mm-hmm. the same thing is true for your brain.
All right, the second pillar is another one of these crossovers between the physical and the mental, the body and the brain. We're talking about what people eat, food and nutrition.
What you eat has a very important effect on your brain, just like your heart, if we want to continue with that analogy. So the things that I might tell you if I saw you as a patient and was worried about your heart or your cholesterol, risk for stroke, risk for heart attack, are very similar to what I would tell you to boost your brain health. Limit calories and saturated fats. Diets high in saturated fats increase your risk for dementia and impair concentration and memory. But we also know there are specific foods that promote brain health. I'll just do some of them. Foods rich in omega-3s, so we look at fish, mm-hmm. particularly fatty fish, seaweed, walnuts, flaxseed oil, winter squash, I am a big fan, kidney and pinto beans, spinach, broccoli, pumpkin seeds, soybeans, and avocados. We also look at blueberries, leafy green vegetables. In general, we're talking about increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables that you eat. So when I say all these things, for many people, what's going to pop in their mind is, wow, that sounds like a Mediterranean diet. Hmm. And yes, the Mediterranean diet is recommended not only for heart health, but also for brain health. The other thing that I really like, Brandon, is the approach to brain health, and part of the Mediterranean diet is to drink wine, or grape juice, I prefer wine, in moderation. And then the thing that really excites me is caffeine.
Naturally.
Caffeine will help brain health, but its effects are only temporary.
All right, let's talk about that third pillar. This is medical health, where we're talking about the overall health of the person in question. What kind of medical care do you get? How do you get it?
Yes, let's try to make some connections here. Memory loss is just not associated with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. We also see it with heart disease. And think about what I talked about to you, the all-important getting good amount of oxygen to your brain, and the risk factors associated with heart disease. We also see diabetes has an adverse impact on brain health, as well as hormonal imbalances and certain medications that you might be prescribed. Yeah. One of the biggies is depression, and depression has its own brain effects. We see sluggishness, difficulty concentrating, and forgetfulness. And then the biggie, a modifiable risk factor, is smoking. Smoking is associated with higher risks of dementia.
Well, you mentioned one of your favorite parts of brain health already is maybe getting a little wine from time to time. Mine is this next topic, sleep and relaxation. I know I am one of millions of Americans that do not get enough sleep. We're told this all the time. It also has some real effects on how your brain functions.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. We have this very stilted look about sleep. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about a leader here in the United States that gets by on 4 hours of sleep. The average American, about 95% of Americans, needs 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep to function optimally. So what is it that lack of sleep contributes to? Well, it compromises your memory, your creativity, your problem solving, and critical thinking. Those are all things that we need to be concerned about. Sleep is necessary for a concept called memory consolidation. When you learn something new, that new thing needs to be laid down within the brain architecture. And that generally happens during sleep. One of the things you want to do is to sleep adequately so that you can have these structural and chemical changes in your nervous system, and it helps to strengthen the connections between neurons, which is what the ultimate is as far as brain health.
The other side of that coin, then, is relaxation, a little downtime. What role does that play in brain health?
Well, relaxation is an important part of protecting your brain. Chronic stress destroys brain cells, plain and simple. And the region of the brain, which is called the hippocampus, is involved in the formation of new memories and retrieval of old ones. So stress has a direct impact on the hippocampus of the brain. And it is known through evidence that has been produced for many years to produce memory loss. So reduced stress may prevent age-related disorders, such as Alzheimer's and dementia.
You alluded to this a little earlier in our conversation, that the brain we can think of sometimes like our muscles. If you don't use it, you lose it. So the fifth pillar is mental fitness.
The more you work your brain, the better you'll be able to process and remember information. So how do we do this? Well, we look for activities that are unfamiliar and currently challenging. Look for something that's progressively challenging. Even something that was once challenging loses its brain-boosting power when it becomes routine. So you think here about the video games and how you have to keep going to the next level.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, the same thing is true with the activities that you select to help stimulate your brain. So even though you might learn a very complex piece of music, Brandon, once it becomes routine for you, it's no longer giving you that same benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the simplest things you can do, I think this one's funny in light of kind of the discourse in our country, is earnestly, and I'm going to emphasize that word again, earnestly try to understand points of view that differ from your own. This is a good mental exercise.
Well, what about brain training programs? I've heard about those, but I'm always a little bit skeptical of sort of the hot new popular thing in medicine.
Right. Well, first off, the range of them is unbelievable, and some of them are charlatan and some of them are more reputable.
Mm-hmm.
But the verdict in general is still out.
Mm.
More and more evidence indicates that brain training apps and online and other programs do not boost memory, problem solving, and attention. So better to go do something that you like to do. Learn, in your case, a new piece of music.
Yeah.
In my case, try a new challenging way of doing pottery or learning a new task. So there's things you can do to engage in everyday life and advance your life that will help your mental health.
And the sixth and final pillar under the Cleveland Clinic rubric for brain health is social interaction. Now, we've talked about this before, the flip side of this social isolation and the detrimental effects it can have when you're really, like, socially alone in the world. Let's take a look at the opposite side of it. When you have social interactions, it could be a big benefit for your brain.
Right. In both cases, relationships matter, to the positive or to the negative. Relationships stimulate our brains in good ways. Individuals with active social lives have the slowest rate of memory decline. Wow, talk about a motivator. Make time for your family and friends. Seek a diverse group of friends. Volunteer. Join a club, a book club, so you're reading, which stimulates your brain. Engaging with people. Play chess or bridge. Do puzzles. Take a class. I mean, wonderful non-credit courses available in our area. Pursue music or art, never too late. And Brandon, I knew you would like this one, so I want to end with, get a dog or another pet.
There you go. I'm going to tell my husband when I get home today. It's doctor's orders. We have to get a dog.
Okay. What kind of dog do you want to get?
A French bulldog. They're the best.
Oh, okay.
They're so cute. They're little bread loaves with legs.
I can just see your brain synapses firing right now. You're smiling. You're engaged. Yeah. You're leaning forward. Yes, get that dog.
There you go. Again, doctor's orders. It's a prescription. Well, let's wrap up this conversation with brain health. You have some final thoughts on the subject.
I was amazed when I started navigating around on Google, all the good resources that are available on brain health. There's two I want to commend to our listeners. The National Institute on Aging, which is part of the National Institutes of Health, has great resources. So just type in National Institute of Aging. Also, the Cleveland Clinic Healthy Brains website. I liked it. It was very graphic, very colorful, well-organized, simply stated information. These are two really good places to start. The main point here is, Brandon, the things that we're promoting today for brain health don't just contribute to brain health. And there's a lot of interconnections, so people can look at these as a change in lifestyle. The one caution, don't get overwhelmed with introducing change in your life. Do small changes, get used to them, and then do others.
Well, I feel smarter already. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thank you so much for your perspective today on Health Connections.
Always my pleasure.